guess what? We still gonna be in the book of Ruth. Maybe this week, maybe next week too. So today's our fourth series or sermon in the series. Today's is titled this. Y'all remember what last week's was titled? Y'all remember? Four signs you might what? Might have a keeper in the person for your relationship. Y'all remember that? We're gonna ramp up a little bit this week. This week's title is this. After you figured out that person that you might want to have as a keeper for you, guess what? Now it's time to define your relationship. That's what we're going to be talking about this week. I read this here in a second. I want to read this for you real fast to start out. But it says this. And we're talking about the book of Ruth. We're talking about Boaz and Ruth together. Amen. Hey, guess what? We are finally out of chapter 2 this week. We're moving into chapter 3. And if y'all know, there's not very many chapters of Ruth, correct? So maybe we'll cover all of them in this series. But the little statement in the Bible here I was reading here says this. Y'all heard the story countless times. The rich older businessman, the gorgeous but penniless young woman. One of two things usually happens. Either the aging tycoon takes what he wants from the young beauty and discards her. How many of y'all had that happen? How many of y'all done that? How many of y'all heard or somebody else that knows somebody like that? Amen. Or the scheming young, what do they call them now? Gold digger. Right? Gold diggers. The scheming young gold digger uses all her wills and wiles to extract millions for herself. Except, guess what? Except it don't always happen that way, does it? It doesn't always happen that way. The story of Boaz and Ruth follows the now familiar script that we've been going through in the introduction for it. But then it takes a sharp and refreshing turn, don't it? Boaz and Ruth lived during the time of the judges. An unsettling era in ancient Israel, in which lawlessness, I'll get that word out, reigned, and relationship between men and women could quickly spiral out of control or over. Amen. Ruth had married a young Israelite, and then was living with parents, or who was living with his parents in Moab. Amen. We talked about that earlier. We know Ruth's husband passed away. And Ruth, what did she do? She chose to, instead of go back to her Moabite heritage and lineage, she chose to go with Naomi and leave Moab and go back to Jerusalem. Go back to God. Amen. So that's what we're going to be talking about this week. We're on chapter 3 again. And guess what? We thought things were weird earlier. They're getting really weird now. Amen. Y'all remember Ruth, right? Poor widow. Just so happened. Remember that? Remember that verse? Just so happened that God hooked them up together. Amen. How many of y'all feel like God might be trying to hook you up with somebody today? She was working in the field. Amen. Trying to belong. And she found a godly landowner that she was working under. What was his name? Y'all remember? Boaz. What did he do? He said, hey girl, what's up? What you got lunch with me? Let's go eat. I asked her out, didn't he? Might have had a first date like some of us may have with our true relation that we have now. Sparks fly, don't they? You get all giddy in your stomach. Y'all remember that, right? And on that first day, it's like, I might not be able to make it back. I might fall on myself. Because I'm so queasy and walking on there. Because they were just so awesome. Y'all got people like that? Y'all felt like that? Come on, I ain't the only one who felt like that about somebody. Amen. Sparks fly, he made her laugh, didn't he? She made him feel proud. There was no awkward silence. How many of y'all ever been out on a date when there was totally awkward silence? You didn't have a clue what you were saying to them. is a hope. That's the one that you better hope if you're a woman. You brought your old cash with you because you might need to get out of that date right then. If y'all ain't got nothing to talk about, if it's awkward silence, y'all are not meant to be together. Amen. Y'all are not Boaz and Ruth. Time to go. How many of y'all ladies know that y'all should probably carry your own money anyway? No matter what your dating situation is, just in case, you might need an out for the night. Y'all know though, there was no awkward silence. You finished each other's statements and sentences, and you had fluttery butterflies floating around in your day, in your stomach. Amen. And then what happened? That first awkward one. Nothing. Nothing. You got ghosted. Nobody showed up. Nobody answered back. Amen. No follow-up call. Amen. No courtesy text. He didn't follow her on her Instagram. He just ghosted. And what happened? During that ghost time, 7 weeks of harvest go by. And harvest itself is about to be over. What happened? Ruth panics. Starts a little freaking out a little bit. How many of y'all women like that? Y'all want to hear from somebody from a little bit? Hey, it ain't got to be 7 weeks. It ain't gonna be 7 minutes. Y'all start freaking out, don't you? Oh, what happened? Where they at? What are they doing? Started questioning. Started trying to read into it. Started trying to overshare the situation. Was in the fields all morning. Tired in the afternoon. Did she give him the ache feeling at the end of the day? Was it wrong? Was he the wrong person for her to be dating? And then she got her mother all the name, don't she? Hey, how many of y'all know? I can say this. How many of y'all know that mother-in-laws are very always opinionated? But not always might be right. Might not always be wise. But mother-in-laws will always tell you what's on their mind. Amen. How they feel about a certain situation. About what you might be doing. About what somebody else might be doing. Amen. Naomi starts out the "it's time to define the relationship" thing. It's time to have. How many of y'all had an official talk when you got engaged or started dating? How many of y'all had an official talk when you updated your Facebook page that says, in a relationship? Amen. Trust me. Nowadays, you're not truly in a relationship world-wise unless you put it on Facebook. You know, unless it says it on there, it don't really exist. That's the way the world feels, isn't it? How many of y'all had that talk? How many of y'all were willing to go through it? For some of us more traditional that are married now, that would be the phase where you go, oh, the date is kind of good. Maybe we need to kick it up a notch. We had a date. Maybe it's time to say, it's like Facebook does. You in that relationship. It's time to turn the page. Turn it up. And define it. How you're acting. What you're doing. What your goals are for that relationship. How many of y'all know we need to set goals? Hey, guess what? Even after you're in a relationship, even after you might be married, you still need to set goals within that relationship. So that's what you ask some of the tough talk. Hey, guess what? That defining of that relationship changes. It's not just that first time. It's continuous until we die. Amen. But back then, what you get is you get that dreaded official talk to determine that level of the commitment to each other. Y'all know the ones that are in the movies, they're like, oh, are we just friends? Or are we just casual acquaintances? Are we just dating off cuff? Or are we more exclusive? Are we dating exclusively each other? Hey, nowadays that's the one that they got to update on Facebook. Everybody can be in a relationship on Facebook, but who's it with? It's just one person. Is it the wrong way of being in a relationship? Or are you dating exclusive? Because trust me, an exclusive dating habit is a lot more commitment to somebody, isn't it? So if him and Ruth are just on casual dating or just friends, there's not really a commitment from them, is there? But if they're dating exclusively, both of them better step their game up, haven't they? Are you going public? Nowadays, are you going public on social media? Or are you going to go all in? Every relationship hits a decision point. Don't it? Guess what? Even our relationship with God and Jesus hits decision points. The initial one was when we accepted Him as our Savior. But guess what? That's not the last one we get, is it? Every day that we wake up, we have a decision point to hit in our relationship with God and Jesus. We got to make sure that we navigate it wisely. Your first scripture today is going to come from the book of Ruth, chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. Ruth 3, 1 and 2. NIV version says this. One day, Ruth's mother-in-law, Naomi, said to her, "My daughter, I must find a home for you where you will be well provided for." Now, Boaz is a relative of ours. Tonight, he will be winnowing. Y'all see that word? He will be winnowing barley on the threshing floor. Tonight, he will be winnowing barley on the threshing floor. That is crazy. It's crazy. He's winnowing barley on the threshing floor. It's the end of the harvest time, isn't it? You got a threshing floor. They have a platform in the field. And the harvest is in the air. You got a west wind blowing. And what the winnowing does is it separates the wheat from the chaff. That's what the winnowing of the barley does. Separates the wheat from the chaff. And what that does is basically determine how much profit you make on the harvest. After a decade of famine in Bethlehem, workers gather. I bet they were excited, weren't they? To be out of that famine. But workers gather. Guess what? They were going to have a payday party based upon that harvest. But Naomi strategizes. Boaz is going to be there. Boaz, the man. He's going to be there. And here's what we going to do. Y'all know mother-in-law talk, right? Here's what we going to do. That means her and Ruth, basically. She's telling Ruth what they're going to do. Ruth 3:3 says this. Wash. Put on perfume. Get dressed in your best clothes. Then go down to the threshing floor. But what? But do not let him know you are there until he has finished eating and drinking. Mm-mm-mm. How many of y'all ladies had y'all mom telling y'all what to do? Giving y'all tips. Dating tips. Relationship tips. Hey, you might want to get dressed up for this one. You might not want to wear sweats on this date. Amen. You might want to put on perfume. In other words, you might not want to smell like the field that you've been in for 7 weeks. Right? You got to drop some alabaster on you. The last time he seen her, this is Naomi's thinking. last time he seen you, girl, you was a hot mess. Because I'm sure after that threshing field, after that harvest, that sweat is nasty out there, ain't it? You do not smell good after being out on that harvest all day long. And that is true. That's the last thing he's saying. Man, I don't know if I really want to talk to her or not. She looked pretty unstable going off that field. She had dirty fingernails. Right? Her hair was looking all ratty. How many of y'all know people with ratty hair now? Hey, guys can have ratty hair too. Amen. And I'm sure she was thinking the same thing. Ruth was probably thinking the same thing. Well, man, I ain't worried about my fingernails because he was nasty too. His hair was messed up as well. Back then, the men and women had almost the same length of hair anyway. So, your hair all ratty. You got to show me. Naomi was telling her, you got to show him. You're better than what he's seen the last time. You got to go glow up. You got to glam up yourself. Amen. You got to put on your best. Kind of like your Sunday dress. Amen. You got to put on your best outfit. And you got to buy that Bethlehem Bloom perfume to put behind your ear. Well, I guess since I'm not a woman, I'm not sure where perfume goes on you, but I'm assuming behind your ears or on your neck somewhere. Rub it in good, right? Make sure that he's going to smell it. Make sure that even if he don't see you, amen, because remember, Naomi told her, don't let him see you until after he's done drinking and eating. Even though he ain't going to see her, he's going to smell it. He's going to be like, ooh. What is that bloom floating across my nose? I might have to look and find that after I get done eating. That was the plan. Y'all know mother-in-law's got good plans for their daughters, right? Only one good for it, right? That's a good strategy, right? Good strategy. Don't just walk in the room. Don't interrupt, basically, what's going on. Amen. Don't just walk in, Boaz. Say, don't just walk right up to him and be like, "Hey, Boaz. Hey, we need to talk." No, no. You gotta have some strategy in there. Amen. So, what did she tell her to do again? She said, "Let him finish. Let the man finish." How many of y'all men like to finish what you're doing if you're eating and drinking water now? Before anybody bothers you. Before anybody interrupts you. Amen. I know I ain't the only one on that too. We like our chicken wings, don't we? We like to be able to eat them without being interrupted. Amen. Because guess what? I don't know about the rest of the guys in here and watching online, but this guy is happier when I got a full belly. When my tum-tum is full. And I'm sure by then, us guys was the same way. I'm sure Boaz was a lot happier with a full stomach. But then things get weird. Things get weird. Naomi says this, Ruth 3, 4 through 6. When he lies down, note the place where he's lying. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down. He will tell you what to do. I will do whatever you say, Ruth answered. So she went down to the threshing floor and did everything her mother-in-law told her to do. That is kind of weird, ain't it? Don't interrupt him, but I'm going to tell you what to do. When he gets done, go lay at his feet. How many of y'all like y'all woman lay at your feet? That must be an old thing. That must be an Old Testament thing. Right? That's New Testament. Men don't really care if the woman's laying at her feet. But I guess that would get Boaz's attention back in. Amen? I'd be happy if they just hang out, set beside me or something. How about y'all? know about y'all, but I'm sure none of us have ever been given that type of advice. Have to any of our kids or from our mom or dad, or well, not dad, but our mom. What in the world was Naomi advising? That woman, that mother-in-law, how many of y'all know we got crazy mother-in-laws every once in a while? Amen? That mother-in-law done lost her mind up in that place. She done went crazy. What was she advising her? Uncover his feet. Wait for him to go lay down. And we do a lot of research on those. We got several legitimate possibilities of what she could be asking him to do. First one is this. The uncovering of the feet might be a euphemism for to uncover a bit more about Boaz. To learn a little bit more about his person, his personality, who Boaz truly was. Some suggest Naomi telling Ruth is being very aggressive. To get attention is one thing. To be aggressive, to get attention. But others say Naomi was trusting God's sovereignty and Boaz's integrity. Put yourself, basically what she was telling her, was telling Ruth, put yourself in the right place, in the right God, and God will give you the right man. And guys, we could be just the same as Boaz was. To put ourselves in the right place with the right God. Not the worldly God, not the Satan God that everybody tells us how we should live, right? But with the right God. And we can find the right woman for us. But no, Naomi tells Ruth to go forward. To go forward. She don't tell her just sit with her until Naomi passes away or whatever. She tells her to go forward. There's potential in that dude named Boaz. There's potential in that man of standing named Boaz. There's a chance of a redemption in Boaz. Some men need. This is another thing she'd be telling her to do. Because men need to be encouraged, don't they? We're insecure. We need a signal that somebody else is interested in us. Amen? So she may have thought Boaz might just need a little bumper kick. Amen? On the just happening part from God. And said, hey, Ruth went down there and said, I like you, basically. Well, I think we could talk. So I said, since you're cure guys, I like that, don't we? We like it when somebody's like, oh, hey, might want to talk to you. Amen? So it could have been one or the other. She could have been encouraging her to find that potential quickly. Or to just let him know what was going on. That she had some interest in him. So she lies down at his feet. She goes and lies down. And she waits. She waits. What happened? What happened? What happened when she lied down? We'll find out in a little bit, ain't we? I'm not going to tell you. That's all you get today. No, I'm just kidding. What to do with her lying down? Because Because maybe it might not be the best plan. But the Bible does show real stuff, don't it? We don't always get right. But guess what? Even if we don't get it right, God can still make it right. Even if we don't get the situation right or the action right, God can still make it right. Amen? It doesn't give us a permission to be dumb. It doesn't give us permission to be dumb. Because God is still good. No matter where we might be on that walk. Amen? We should be encouraged. She should be encouraged. Boaz definitely would be encouraged. Right? But it's going to get a little bit weirder. Story's going to get a little bit weirder here. So in your next verse, verse 7, it says, when Boaz had finished eating and drinking and was in good spirits, he went over to lie down at the far end of the grain pile. Ruth approached quietly, uncovered his feet, and laid him down. In the middle of the night, something startled the man. He turned, and there was a woman lying at his feet. Oh, wonder who that was. What'd he say? Who are you? He recognized Ruth. Who are you? He asked. I am your servant, Ruth. She replied. Spread the corner of your garment over me, since you are a guardian redeemer of our family. Spread the garment or the corner of your garment over me, since you are a guardian redeemer of our family. A guardian redeemer is a relative who had the responsibility and the privilege. Y'all hear that? The responsibility and the privilege to provide for a family member in a time of need. So Naomi and Ruth was looking at Boaz as a potential distant guardian redeemer to spread the corner of her garment. Would you, he would say, would you cover me? Be my spiritual covering. Be my redeemer. We got a God and a Holy Spirit for that now, right? That's our guardian redeemer. Was Ruth proposing to him with those words? We don't know, do we? We're not sure. Or was she suggesting that he propose? Because y'all know nowadays, it used to be, I don't know how many years ago, but at least 99.9% of the time that a couple got engaged, it was the guy that proposed. Right? Now I couldn't even tell you the percent, but it's changed because some guys are okay with women ending up actually proposing to them. But in this situation, was Ruth proposing with her statement? Or was she suggesting somehow that he proposed to her? Because Boaz himself was in good spirits, wasn't he? She's by his bed, grabs her cover, rolls up, stays the night, don't she? Did they have sexual relationships that night? No. Guess what? I'll show you why in a minute. They did not. Think about that. Nowadays, that's what everybody thinks about, man. If somebody spends a night with somebody, oh, they must have been doing the dirty. That's the way the world thinks now. Dating today is basically how far is too far, or how far is not enough. Amen. Where is that actual line that we cross. Amen. But in the Song of Solomon 8:4, guess what? God gives us a good idea of where that line should be. And 8:4 in the New Living Translation says this: "Promise me, O woman of Israel, not to awaken love until the time is right. Promise me, O woman of Jerusalem, not to awaken love until the time is right." When do you take it too far? When your body awakens. When you prepare for sex out of marriage, guess what? You've went too far. You've taken it too far. Amen. You're too close to the line when you get prepared for that. You got to stay as far away as possible. Kind of like giving you a little example. If you go to pet a squirrel, if you go to pet a squirrel and it bites you, guess what you're probably not going to be doing in the future? You're probably not going to try to pet that squirrel, are you? It's going to bite you back. It's going to bite you again. Basically, what this is saying, do not awaken love until the time is right. Do not awaken love until the time is right. When will that time be right? Guess what? Our Bible tells us. Our Bible is clear. It says the time for sex is within what? The covenant of marriage. Nowhere else does it say it's okay, does it? Nowhere else in the Bible does it say a time for sex other than within that covenant of the marriage. And guess what? That covenant of the marriage is what? A man and a woman. Nobody else. Those two become one. Right? People might think we're old-fashioned. People might think we're out of touch. Amen? But guess what? Sex represents a union of that marriage. And God joins it in the midst of that. If we want something better, we got to do something different. If we want something better, we got to do something different. Amen. But what's he do? Boaz pulled a God move, didn't he? Boaz pulled a biblical move. Boaz treated Ruth honorably, even though she was rolled up under his blanket. He didn't push for sex, did he? He respected her purity. How do we know? Ruth 3:11 says this: "And now, my daughter, do not be afraid. I will do for you all you ask. All the people of my town know that you are a woman of noble character." Amen. He could have rolled up in there like many in their society did at that time and just had sex with her, or forced her to have sex with her. Amen? But he didn't. He respected her. God showed him what type of person she truly was. Amen? But at this point, guess what? Ruth has declared her love for Boaz. And guess what? Boaz, with that statement there at the end, is all in. He's 120% committed to this relationship at that point. He's got full sail ahead. Amen? Now they can get married at that point and live happily ever after. Whoa. Hold your horses. Not yet. Not yet. Amen? Ruth 3:12-13 says this: "Although it is true that I am a guardian redeemer of her family, there is another who is more closely related to you than I. Stay here for the night And in the morning, if he wants to do his duty as your guardian redeemer, good. Let him redeem you. But if he is not willing, as surely as the Lord lives, I will do it. He followed tradition, didn't he? He could have just said, forget that other person. Amen. But at tradition at that time, somebody else was in line before him. And he said, because of the fact that he respected her so much, at the end of that, if he's not willing to help, if he's not willing to do it, I certainly will. Guess what? A little obstacle in the road, right? A little log across the road, per se, to stop him from getting where they need it. Another relative in line had a legal right to be the guardian, her guardian redeemer. Next week, we're going to talk about how Boaz overcomes that obstacle, the principles. If he will do what it takes to get her, to get Ruth. Do what it takes to keep her at that time. So some things we learned in the past couple weeks is this. It's often wise to put yourself in the right place to increase the odds of meeting the right person. Don't overlook those who are right in front of you. Sometimes you may have to go after what you want. It ain't always going to just come right to you. Amen. Even if you don't get it right, guess what? God can still make it right. Amen. If you want a marriage that honors God in the future, live a life today that honors God. Present time. Don't get you a pet squirrel. Don't get bit. Amen. Because spiritually, mentally, and probably physically at that point, Boaz himself wants to be Ruth's guardian redeemer. Don't he? But Boaz himself wasn't obligated to care for Ruth as guardian redeemer. He wasn't even a brother to her husband. She was a Moabite. Amen. She wasn't from Bethlehem. Remember? But because he loved her, he chose to make a sacrifice for her. Amen. Ruth's first decision was to leave Moab. Boaz's first decision was to commit to Ruth. And at one point it will lead to marriage and result in a son by the name of Obed. And from that lineage of Obed, our guardian savior and our redeemer, Jesus, Son of God, comes. In the same way that Boaz was her guardian redeemer, guess what? We got a Jesus to be our guardian redeemer today. Amen? He wasn't obligated to, was he? He wasn't obligated to. But guess what, guys? Because he first loved us, he chose to redeem us and give us new life. Amen? It's time to define our relationship. It's time for us to be who Jesus wants us to be. So I ask you today, who is Jesus to you today? Is he Lord and Savior? Or is he just a historical figure? A guy you like, have a casual commitment with? Or is he truly, truly your Lord and Savior? Is he truly your Redeemer? Is he truly your King? Or are you missing all that God has for you by 18 inches or more? Because guess what? No matter what our head knowledge and amount of our head knowledge is, it's not our heart relationship.
Amen.
We have to have that truly heart relationship with our Lord and Savior in order to truly know Him, truly have Him defined as our guardian redeemer. As I come for the final song, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You for Your message today, Lord. Lord, I thank You for the blessing and the words that You give me to speak, Lord. Lord, I thank You for Your Holy Spirit moving me out of the way today, Lord. Lord, I thank You again for Your words spoken and not mine, Lord. Lord, I thank You for opening our heart, mind, and soul, Lord, to the blessing and the message that You have for us, Lord. Lord, I thank You for the opportunity for each one of us here and at home, Lord, to truly, truly just make our decision to truly define our relationship with us, with You, Lord, to truly make it as Christ-like as possible, not worldly, Lord. Lord, we thank You for each and everything that You do. In Your name I pray. Everybody say it.
Amen.
Amen.